Hello, I am Milena Kalinowska, in charge of public programs at the Hirschhorn Museum. I'll be talking to digital sound artist Richard Chartier, who together with Taylor Dupree will premiere the new 45-minute collaborative work, Specification 15 in the Learner Room. This site-specific work has been created for the Sugimoto Retrospective. Inspired by Sugimoto's seascapes and reflecting the composure of the series, the two sound artists' work will focus on stillness and opposing yet related spaces. It'll be part of the program at the Hirschhorn After Hours on March 30th, and if you would like to have more information, please visit our website. Hello, Richard. You are a sound installation artist, and for the live premiere of Specification 15 on March 30th, you are collaborating with Taylor Dupree on a sound piece inspired by Hiroshi Sugimoto exhibition at the Hirschhorn. Could you explain how you construct your work and how you perform?
Well, each piece is very different in its construction. Some may take weeks, others months, and some pieces I've worked on and have been reworking for 2 years, so it very much depends. To me, the beauty of working with sound digitally is that it can always be changed and continuously evolve. I can always revisit works, can always edit them, and create something new. With Specification 15, though, the process was unusual for both Taylor and I, in that we were both not only creating sounds inspired by the atmosphere of Sugimoto's works, but compositionally, the structure of the whole piece is based on this interwoven duality of two very distinct areas which cut the visual space of the photos in half. The composition can be thought of as working its way up through one of these photos vertically. Two very distinct sections, but two that are intrinsically linked elementally with a kind of fuzzy gray area where the two collide or mesh. And so that will be evident in the performance itself, in the way it's structured. As far as what we use to perform live, we use two laptops to control and modulate the sounds which we've created while trying to maintain the resonant frequency of the actual performance space itself.
You have said elsewhere that you work intuitively and thus do not follow a strict composition. How do you structure your performances or recordings?
Well, since what I do is not very musical or in the most musical sense, and I don't have training in music, this colors the way I work. The process is more akin to, let's say, painting or design. There are ideas that I have in advance which really evolve during a process of composing. Gestures are added or deleted. But I usually don't work with a score. Sometimes I have a sketch of which I guess you could call a loose score in advance. I'm certainly trying to remove referentiality as much as possible. With my work, I try and stray from sounds that can be perceived as recognizable or I like artificial sounds, very low frequencies, very, very high frequencies. But my work since 2000 has become more organic. It's been described as orchestral in arrangement, but I don't really know if that necessarily means it's more musical. Structurally and sonically, what I do may seem simple or very, very minimal, but at the same time, it's very complex with numerous subtle changes.
The concept of silence and its perception seem to fascinate you. Can you explain what you mean when you say you want to generate a rich threshold between silence and sound?
What I mean by that is generating focus. The sense of hearing, or our sense of hearing, has in a way been repressed by a dominant sense, which is that of seeing. With many states of being in regard to this experience of, or experiencing sound and acoustics, there's a real lack for terminology or words to aptly describe or express it. Sometimes the only way for me to communicate what I do, or for people to communicate about sound, is through the act of sensorial experience itself. So actually, listening to something is really the only way of describing it. I find the threshold between activity and, say, perceived stillness or perceived emptiness quite fascinating. What interests me as a sound artist is creating space or creating spaces. Sound is very physical, yet in space, it's very ephemeral. It dissipates.
You and your collaborator, Taylor Dupree, have selected specific words to communicate your sense of Sugimoto seascapes, and yet Sugimoto considers these to be images of the world before language. How did you choose your words? Did these signify for you a particular emotion, feeling, or a way of connecting to Sugimoto's photographs, or are they intended to convey the primordial sense that Sugimoto describes? He says, although the land is forever changing its form, the sea, I thought, is immutable. Thus began my travels back through time to the ancient seas of the world.
Well, at the beginning of the project, I started writing down words that I associated with the experience of viewing the seascape photos, but of course these were from other exhibits or from Sugimoto books that I had. The list was, of course, reworked after viewing it in the space at the Hirshhorn. Because of the way they're installed and the scale of the photographs and the lighting all created a much, much different experience, and to me it was even more, perhaps, still or timeless. Some of the words that I had written down initially were blurry, meshed, divided yet merging, corollary, fuzzy, slow, evolving, static, deep, particleized. Some of the things we wanted to express in the work was sections or movements that were relating to very similar yet very, very different detailed photos, constant positive and negative throughout the work, and definitely to try and create a relationship between the distance and clarity in the photos, which could also, we thought, as a performance, relate to the audience's approach and envelopment within the sound space.
Do you select particular sounds chosen according to the situation, which in this case would be your response to Hiroshi Sugimoto's Seascape series, which began in 1980?
The selections of sounds for this project were based on words and concept, like we said, about that Taylor and I felt linked with our experiences of viewing the Seascape series. There's a great quote which I always like to bring up, which is, to suggest is to create, to describe is to destroy. I think that's very apt in this situation because our work is only a suggestion of our particular experience with the seascapes, and it's not necessarily trying to describe it or in any way recreate it. The live presentation of my work is, in a sense, trying to cultivate attention. It encourages a listening environment where people may focus intently on their actual capacity for hearing the sound within the context, remove from the context of more routine forms or practices of listening. One thing that I have heard from audience members over the years is that they'll come up to me at the end of a performance and say, oh, why did you only play for 10 minutes? Or why did you only play for 15 minutes? And when I respond to them, I've actually played for almost an hour, they don't agree. They think I'm actually making that up. But that's the same kind of effect that the seascapes, for example, have had on Taylor and I, is that timelessness, that stillness.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you very much for having me. You'll now hear an excerpt of a live recording at the Society of Arts and Technologies in Montreal, Canada, which was recorded on December 9th, 2003. This recording is on my label, Line, which documents both minimal sound performance and sound artists' installations. Next, you'll hear an excerpt from Taylor Dupree's work Still, which was released on 12K in 2002. This has been remastered and remixed in 2006 and is now available.